Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I'm delighted to be in studio as we answer your questions. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I want to start the broadcast with a confession. I don't like losing. That candid confession may hint at some yet-to-be-conquered vestige of carnality, especially when it comes to golf. But when applied to losing Christians, my dislike takes on a decidedly more sanctified twist. You see, we are in the process of losing a generation of Christians. And you don't need to be a sociologist of religion or a statistician to know this doesn't bode well for the future of American Christianity or, for that matter, the world. As John Dickerson, author of The Great Evangelical Recession, put it, this isn't merely a scraped knee, it's a gushing artery. In fact, Dickerson's research shows that the body of Christ is quite simply bleeding out. Of the 3.7 million U.S. evangelicals who are 18 to 29 years old, 2.6 million will leave the faith at some point between their 18th and 29th birthdays. Even more alarming is the fact that the vast majority of them will never return. And that sobering reality is part of what drives the Christian Research Institute. In addition to equipping millions of desperately needy Christians, it's imperative that we do all we can to halt the hemorrhaging of the church here at home. I've been overwhelmed with three facts. The first is the enormous hunger for even the most basic apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cult's resources that the Christian Research Institute can provide. Secondly, the enormous gap between the comparatively vast resources on the bookshelves of most Christians here in the U.S. and the absence of virtually any materials for most of our brothers and sisters in the Global South. And three, the extraordinary opportunities you and I have to help shape the future of Christianity in the Global South by simply sharing the abundance of our God-given resources. So for the sake of the multitudes of fellow believers both at home and in the Global South that can be touched by your concern and certainly by your generosity, I'm simply asking you to do all you can to help us today. I believe with every fiber of my being that the investments we make today will eventually ripple around the planet and touch millions of fellow believers as well as those who in turn are reached for Christ. So may God bless you richly for the difference that your strategic investment will make. You can make that investment in a safe, secure fashion on the web today at equip.org, or you can write me at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And again, our resource consultants are available at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go right to our phone calls. First up is Keith. He's listening in North Carolina. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been out of fellowship with the Lord for a while, and I'm trying to get back, and I want to get back to reading my Bible. And I always have the problem of when I read, you know, not fairly long after, I have the tendency to forget some of the passages I've read. And I know you are very affluent in your knowledge in Scripture. And I wanted to ask you if you could give me some tips to help me with my Scripture memorization.
Well, you're right in your passion, because God has called us to write His Word upon the tablet of our hearts. And, of course, with that call, He has also provided the ability to do that. I've often likened the mind to a muscle. If you exercise it, it will increase in its capacity to remember and recall information. But if you don't, it will atrophy. So what I like to tell people who want to get started in memorizing the Scripture is to set goals, because he who aims at nothing invariably hits it. To make the goals attainable, because if your goals are unrealistic, then you will undoubtedly become discouraged and eventually give up. And then do your memorization with a family member or a friend. This is something that I've done for years. I've memorized with staff members, family members. So there's an accountability grid that is part of the memorization process. And then, this is kind of a sleeper here in terms of advice, but use normally unproductive time to review what you have memorized. And this goes to the heart of your question. You read something, you memorize something, and then 2 weeks later you can't remember it or recall it. Well, the problem is that you have not reviewed it sufficiently to take it from your short-term to your long-term memory. So I use times like when I'm falling asleep, when I'm waiting in lines. I use that normally unproductive time to review what I've memorized. And often what I have in my wallet, and people ask me to pull it out from time to time, is I'll have a page of a Bible that I've dissected. And I've taken the page out. I have one Bible that I do that with. I take a page out, and then I put that page in my wallet, and I go over what I've memorized as I'm standing in a line, because I'm trying to take it from my short-term to my long-term memory. And one other thing I'd like to say in response to your question, that is that there's no time like the present to get started. And a good place to begin is Psalm 119. In fact, committing the 11th verse of that passage to memory is particularly salient. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. To memory, this is an encouragement to make it a lifestyle. So also you might want to think about Joshua 1:8, because those words also apply to what we're talking about. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So if you want a formula for genuine prosperity, that's it right there in Joshua 1:8. So yeah, get started, and remember, you eat the elephant one bite at a time. So don't set too big a goal. Let's imagine you've never memorized before in your life. Let's say you're 40. You don't have to set a goal to memorize a chapter a week. I mean, you can set a goal to memorize a verse a month. At the end of a year, you'll have memorized 12 verses, which is more than you've done in the whole previous part of your life. So set reasonable, attainable goals. You can always build on them, but don't set them too great. Otherwise, it just ends up being an unfinished monument in your life.
Thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate your advice.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk next to Chad. He's listening in Dallas, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chad.
Thank you for your ministry.
You're welcome.
I was looking for some clarification in Mark 9. Jesus is saying, you know, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better to enter life maimed than everlasting fire, so forth. And then right after that, he says, everyone will be salted with fire. And so just in the context of what he's talking about in punishment, and then he moves forward to everyone's going to be salted with fire, it's just, it's confusing, and I was hoping for some clarification.
Well, all that's going on there is the metaphor seasoned with fire is pointing to the fact of being tested to see if your faith and your work is genuine. So in saying every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt, Jesus is actually quoting from the Old Testament. I think it's the book of Leviticus, somewhere around the second chapter, which salt stands for the remembrance of God's covenant with his people. Also, remember that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about the fact that we're salt and light. He's illustrating the role of disciples in society because of its preservation powers. Salt is necessary for life. And of course, salt gives flavor. And salt had religious and sacrificial significance. So when someone ate salt with someone else, they were bound together in loyalty. And as the salt of the earth, Christians are bound to be preservers of God's covenant and give flavor to the earth. That's why Jesus says that the salt loses its saltiness. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for your call. We're coming up to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. So please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hank contemplating his own Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Find out what Hank Hanegraaff means when he says, "Truth matters, life matters more," by reading his latest book today. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that if the Lord lays this on your heart, we would deeply appreciate your consideration of becoming a CRI support team member that commits to supporting the Christian Research Institute and many outreach ministries around the world. With your ongoing support and appreciation, you'll receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. When you join the monthly CRI support team, you quite literally turbocharge our ministry. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Frank in Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, it's based on the prospect of forgiveness and then having to still met out some kind of justice, whether that's a person is relieved of their job for the errors that they've made, or maybe that a relationship is ended because it's not the right thing for people to go through anymore. And I'm just curious, how do we biblically base that you can net out a justice in man's law and not cross a line with God's law?
Yeah, well, remember that in terms of the whole idea of forgiveness, it's always a two-way street. So God objectively offers salvation to all who would receive. But that is not subjectively realized unless we embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So the objective forgiveness is offered to us, but not realized unless subjectively we reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. So forgiveness being a two-way street, in that sense, applies to us in a human sense as well. So our responsibility as Christians is always being willing to forgive. That's the operative word, willing. But we cannot affect reconciliation on our own because it's not unilateral. It's always bilateral. It always takes more than one party. So we have to have a heart that is open to receive someone who is genuinely sorry for what they did and therefore desires reconciliation.
So then they just won't admit that they have done something wrong.
Well, then you can't have reconciliation. You can still be willing to forgive, but if they can't admit that, then reconciliation simply is out of the question because, again, it takes both parties.
Right. I've experienced something where the body of Christ was divided in my church, and there was not a reconciliation between the parties. How do you move on from that where you decide that you need to leave that particular portion of the body of Christ in seeking out a new place, a new home?
Yeah, but you still, and maybe that's the wisest thing to do in that particular situation. Every situation is a bit different depending on the circumstance. But yeah, well, you still have to have a willingness to forgive, to have an open heart towards others. I mean, we have that open heart towards the world, right? We want to reach the world with the gospel. How much those brothers and sisters that are separated? We have to have that open heart, that love that we show, not only by what we say, but by the lives that we lead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your time and your insights. They're very helpful.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Adam next. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Hank. God bless you, brother. Thanks for letting me on the air. You answered a question that kind of sparked another question in my mind. someone called in and asked where dinosaurs fell in the scripture, and you had mentioned that, you know, we have to look to science as well, and that, you know, dinosaurs date back 55 million years ago. Well, that got me wondering about your opinion on not only on the age of the earth, but where that time frame comes in. You know, we know from the scripture that Adam and Eve were, what, roughly 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. So where do you see that gap in time between 55 million years ago compared to Adam and Eve 3,000 or 4,000 years ago? And how do you ascribe that gap in time? I mean, do you believe in God creating the earth in 7 literal days, or do you see a time gap somewhere?
Well, the first thing, and I've said this many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, if you want to find the age of the earth or the age of the universe, you're not going to find it in Scripture, nor will you find any precedent for saying that Adam and Eve came to this planet by God's creation 5,000 or 6,000 years ago. Simply nowhere in Scripture. We don't have any idea whatsoever in terms of the chronology. In fact, the genealogies that you find in Genesis are not sequential, they're symmetrical. And that's why you have 10 on one side of the flood and 10 on the other side of the flood. Very much like genealogies are throughout the Bible. They have a chirological function. In other words, there is a purpose for these being segmented as they are. There's a purpose for Matthew having 14, 14, and 14 generations. So the idea that the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were here 5,000 or 6,000 years ago as the creation of God simply is not something to be found in Scripture. If you want to find out when Adam and Eve first populated the earth, then you have to go to God's other book, which is General Revelation. And that answers those questions. So as Christians, we have to do not only good scriptural hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation, but we also have to do good science. Now, there's a lot of debate about exactly how old Earth is, how the exact age of the universe is figured, but the general idea today is that the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old and that the universe is 13.8 billion years. Roughly speaking, that is not only compelling from my perspective in terms of current science, but it corroborates Scripture's teachings that the universe came into existence a finite time ago. You know, there was a time in which people thought about an eternal universe, which makes no sense whatsoever given the laws of science, or that the universe sprang out of nothing, also makes no sense whatsoever given our understanding of science. So the Bible is correct in corroborating that the universe came into existence a finite time ago. But what you have in the first 11 chapters of Genesis is sort of like in previous episodes. In other words, you have sort of the macro issues to catch you up, because the real concern of Scripture is God's call of Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and then the unfolding plan of redemption culminating in a new heaven and a new earth. So paradise lost becomes paradise restored.
As far as an apologetic mindset, because I know that's a question asked a lot of Christians by atheists and agnostics and different people, you know, I see that as a weak point, but I see that as a struggling point with Christians, because you do have your organizations such as Answers in Genesis that strongly believe that the earth is only 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 years old, and that the genealogy in Scripture is exact. So I guess my question is, how do we as Christians, or what is your opinion on how we should handle that? Because it seems like, as far as an apologetic mindset, we hurt ourselves.
We ought to tell people to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. I mean, it's not enough to say that the Bible's the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. But once we say that, we also should say to people, learn how to read not only the Bible, but literature in general. And by the way, from the perspective of saying that the universe is 5,000 years old, sequential layers in the formation of ice cores in places like Antarctica and Greenland point to an Earth much older than that. Because just as arborists count tree rings so that they can estimate the age of trees, researchers count sequential layers to date the age of ice cores. And that data log seems to suggest that the age of the Earth is at least hundreds of times older than the age presumed by the young Earth creationists that you mentioned. To remember the resources that I talk about on the show, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's a subscription magazine. It's world class. It's a magazine that no Christian home should be without. When you look at the major Christian magazines, a magazine like Charisma, it's downright embarrassing. The Christian Research Journal, however, is a magazine that will equip you, give you discernment skills. You can subscribe again on the web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. We're out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth. Because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.